Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. I want to thank you for joining us today, sharing us with your friends and family. We start the sixth year off with almost 800,000 viewers and listeners, so we're very, very excited about that. We've got one heck of an episode because there's so much going on in the world today. And we've had so many requests from our viewers and our listeners line of what's going on with real estate. So I have Glenn Henderson here. He's a real estate expert. He's been on the show many times before over the last couple of years, and he really provides great content. So this is something you really want to pay attention to, take notes on, because if you're looking to sell or buy something, or just understand how to get the most out of your house, you really want to take some notes. So with that, I want to welcome Glenn Henderson to the show.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on again.
We're actually really glad you're here. So let's just do a little recap of what was going on in 2023, because I heard from people, oh, the prices are too high, their interest rates are too high, but there's still a lot of houses being bought and sold. So help us understand what was going on in 2023. And then let's talk about 2024.
So 2023 year started out well. We started out through spring into summer. Rates were down from where they had been at 2022. By end of third quarter, beginning of fourth quarter, we saw rates starting to go back up. And then about October, we hit the 8% mark. And that basically put the brakes on the market. And when we saw that happen, we went from the sixes to eights in a matter of a couple of weeks. So October, November were very slow months. Very few sales were happening. December, we saw rates starting to gradually come down week by week. And with each incremental drop in rates, we saw a little bit of an uptick in buyer activity. And even though December is typically a slow month, it was busier than what we had seen the previous 2 months just because of the impact that the rates had. So coming into the new year, rates have continued on that downtrend, which is good to see. Inventory was the biggest challenge in 2023. Because of where rates are right now, very few people are making transitions, because if the traditional move-up buyer that's now bought a house and they're in a mortgage that's at 2, 3, 4%, and they're evaluating moving up into a new property, and they're looking at a rate of 6, 7%, it just doesn't make sense payment-wise, even though they would be walking away with a lot of equity. Same thing on the reverse side, the move-down buyers, that kids are gone, they're empty nesters, they'd be looking for a smaller home or relocating to a different area for their retirement stage. When they're looking at the rates and what payments would be, that doesn't make sense. A lot of them aren't transitioning unless they're transitioning out of state where they're able to buy all cash. So we're seeing, for us being in California, we're seeing a lot of people still leaving California to the less expensive areas because they're able to sell and pay cash. Outside of the people leaving, it's really life events that are a majority of the sales. So people have passed away and inherited properties, divorces, job losses, or other reasons that have caused just the income to go down and they're financially strained. But hopefully, as we get into the new year, and a lot of the forecasts are that because rates have started to come back down, and we do have a lot of buyers that are in that, people that have bought over the last 2 years are in that 5-6% range, that we'll start to see some of those homes coming back on the market, and we will start to see some increase in inventory.
Mm-hmm. And where are rates right now?
So if you're in a conventional, which is roughly under 900,000, you're in the mid to high 6% range. For a single family, if you're buying a condo, then you're in the low 7% range. The jumbo loans, depending on down payment, depending on the lender, anywhere from mid to upper sixes into the low 7% range.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, costs have gone up significantly for people. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know what, we had COVID and that delayed the whole short sale foreclosure market because of it had to work its way through the court system. And we're seeing that work its way through the court system. So are we seeing more short sales, foreclosures and things like that? Are those ticking up or?
So we're not seeing the short sales and foreclosures, at least not yet, because through the COVID, through that time, prices ran up 30, 40, 50%, depending on what area you're in. So the people still have equity, mm-hmm. but we're not seeing, unless you have access to the data, there's a significant amount of people that are in default from the COVID forbearance programs. So throughout the US, it was approximately 2.3 million people took the forbearance program. So basically they were able to stop making payments. 1.7 million of those people still owe the money. And there was two ways that it's paid back. Either it gets added on to the end of the mortgage, or which majority of lenders did not go that route. The majority took whatever that amount was that was not paid. And then, so say if you had 30,000, then that 30,000 is split up over 12, 24, 36 months. So now somebody's payment has gone up significantly. Well, part of that forbearance program is one of the guidelines or the stipulations was those are not reported late on a mortgage because it was to protect people during the COVID and the downturn. Well, that stipulation didn't clarify and it was just a blanket stipulation. So all of the people that are now in these forbearance programs that aren't making payments, none of that's being reported on credit. So there's actually a large number of people that are in default that's not being reported anywhere. And it's so when you look at mortgage defaults, and even though we're seeing that they are on an increase and a gradual increase, those are not actual numbers. There's actually much higher because of the people that are in the forbearance programs that are not making payments. So for our state, California, for example, there's 900,000 people roughly that are not making payments on those forbearance programs that's not reported anywhere in the delinquent. If you look at just delinquent mortgages or any of the stats on people that are behind. And in the, it was probably in the last 4 weeks, but there was, you may have seen it in the news, but the Veterans Administration, so VA, put a moratorium on foreclosures because what they realized is all of the service members and people that veterans that have used these VA loans that took this forbearance program, this COVID forbearance program, it was forcing them into foreclosure because they're not able to make up these payment plans or make the payments on these payment plans. And they realized they can't just be basically forcing all these people into losing their homes. So they put a moratorium on foreclosures while they try and work out a solution. And what they're looking at is taking the amount that was owed, adding it to the balance, and then recasting the mortgage. So the recasting means just over the remainder of the life of the loan, then the payment is now based off of, you know, if you had 30,000 in forbearance, that forbearance amount was 30,000, that gets added onto the total balance of the loan, recast over the remaining life of the loan. So then it's a very gradual increase in payment and something that's manageable for most people.
Yeah, I could see that if somebody has 27 years to go on a loan, or I'm sorry, 25 years to go on a loan, and they've got to add in $30,000. If they're just adding a little bit each year, that's not that significant. Exactly. So I can, you know, it might be an extra $100 a month or two, which is very much more manageable than to double a payment.
Yeah, so, exactly. And then the other challenge right now too is for, especially for our state, for California, is with the home insurance providers. And then people are seeing premiums going up 20, 30, 40%. So,
I did.
Yeah, so did we. So, you know, in addition to a lot of these people that were, any of these people who are in these forbearance programs, that they're getting double hit because then they've got premiums going up. But then just for the everybody as a whole, premiums are going up. And even people that are in HOAs or condos, they're being affected because the HOA's policies are going up significantly, which then has to be passed down to everybody in the community through the increase in HOA dues. So that's the other area that's putting a lot of pressure on our market right now.
Wow. So, it was really interesting. Now, my understanding is there's a number of insurance carriers that are no longer providing health insurance for, homeowners insurance for the state of California. And we still have a few, and some are not accepting more new people. So what are the carriers that are actually accepting? Do you know the carriers that are accepting continuing to accept homeowners in the state of California?
I'm actually not real sure. I just rely on our insurance broker to help and guide us, but we're going through it right now. Just this week, been in the process of starting to get quotes to evaluate, who's available and what the premiums are going to be. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting. And now the insurance companies are looking at further inspections to make sure they've got worthwhile houses to insure. Yeah. So it's kind of a double whammy on everything. So, and yeah, I totally understand that ours is up 35%. And we're not even in a fire area or earthquake area or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then some of these people that are in those even the more high fire severity zones, and a lot of people that have owned homes for decades and they're on a retirement fixed income, and they've been able to adjust to small increases over time. But when they're getting hit with 30, 40, 50, 60% premium adjustments, it's putting them in really tough financial positions too. So hopefully they figure out something to correct this, because it can't continue to go like this.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree, because that just doesn't work for the homeowners. And that would cause more people to leave the state of California and all that kind of good stuff. So, hey folks, you want to stick with us? We're going to be right back with some more Glenn Henderson here on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems and lift your spirit and live a life of personal financial freedom. You can always go check us out at Saving with Steve Sexton on Facebook. Get behind-the-scenes stuff, guest gifts, the whole shot. Let's really get back to what we're talking about, which is real estate with Glenn Henderson. Glenn, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
Now, we talked about what's going on in real estate. And, we were on the break, we were just talking about, hey, what's going on with the homeowners insurance and how it's affecting some people's ability to get their mortgage closed because of the rates and stuff like that. Now, one of the big things that we want to talk about is every environment's a little bit different, but there's a few things people could do. And I know you almost have this patented, like five things that people can do to sell their house for the most amount of money. And I was wondering if you could just walk us through those five things over the next 10 minutes so our listeners can hear that, they can take notes and all that kind of good stuff. Because I've talked to many people that you've helped, and those steps have made a gigantic difference from them not losing money on the back end, getting more out of it, not being too crazy about trying to get the highest price, but then getting a higher price than they actually thought because they did it the right way. So Glenn, if you could share that with us, I'd love it.
Yeah, absolutely. So number one is the pre-inspection. This is what a lot of people don't do. And I feel it makes such a significant impact or difference in the sale, because once you get into escrow and you're selling your home, there's two reasons that homes typically fall out of escrow. And the number one predominant one is inspections and problems that come up. So by doing a pre-inspection before putting the home on the market, it's the same inspection that a buyer would come in or the same inspection a buyer would hire somebody to do and come in and do once you get into escrow. So by doing it up front, we're able to determine if there's any issues, any problems that we're not aware of. And then we can determine, is this something we should fix or not fix? But even if we don't fix it, at least then we can disclose it up front. And then in our counteroffer or offer, we're able to put in that the sale is as is. The buyer is aware of these issues, so it doesn't become a problem when we're 2-3 weeks into the transaction. And that's been a crucial step in being able to help ensure that we're not dealing with a second point of negotiation once we're in contract, because a lot of buyers like to use that as, well, I did my inspection, this, and this came up, so I want a $10,000 credit to go towards my closing costs. And it's almost become a trend where people don't even, it's not about the problems, it's just about how much money can I get off the sale by leveraging my inspection. So having that inspection upfront takes away that leverage point that the buyers would have.
I've heard many stories about people losing $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 over something that didn't even cost that much to get fixed. So yeah, that's good to know. So what's next?
Then second is the staging. So staging, a lot of times people hear staging and they just think, okay, that's bringing furniture into a house if it's empty. But with staging, what we mean is focusing on first curb appeal. So whether it's, painting, pressure washing, planting some flowering plants in the front, add some color, cleaning up the lawn, whatever we need to do to enhance the curb appeal. Because when somebody pulls up to the house, what they see sets the expectation. And, that's that first impression of the home. Then once we get inside, if somebody's still living in the home, that's decluttering, sometimes taking some furniture out. Oftentimes we'll remove furniture and then have our stager bring items in for just one room or one area. If it is a vacant home, then staging all of the main living areas, kitchen, bathrooms, and then the primary bedroom and bathroom. Usually we don't focus on the auxiliary bedrooms just because the master or primary bedroom is the one that, the decision maker and who's paying the money is most concerned with. So staging is basically improving the overall look of the home. But on a vacant home, I 110% feel that not only feel this way, but we've tested, and a staged home will always get more views online because it looks better. It will get more showings. And then in the end, we're going to sell for a higher price.
Now, what about something I thought, what about people who have all the family pictures up there? Mm-hmm. Is that something that, that needs to be staged as well?
Yeah. So part of the decluttering or, paring down process would be taking down all of those photos, family photos, personal photos, things like that you want to put away. It's one, you want to have more open wall space because it helps the room feel larger, but also for the personal photos, it distracts buyers because it inevitably anytime somebody's going through a home, they're going to look at the pictures. They want to see, do I know that person? Or, and they just then get caught up in looking at the photos. Hallways, always want to remove all the photos. A lot of times people use hallways for either family photos or just artwork, but photos and art along the hallways can make them feel smaller and make it feel a little more claustrophobic, if you want to say. But yeah, family photos you always want to take down and put away.
Okay, cool. Because I always got the feeling that if there's too many photos, how can I feel like this could be my house?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why you just want somebody to be able to walk in and see themselves in it, not be focused on the family that lives there.
It's good to know. Okay. And what's next?
Third is the pricing. So with pricing the home, it's so crucial to make sure we get the pricing correct up front. And a lot of times the mistake people make is going with too high of a price. So sometimes it's the sellers, and the sellers feel that, you know, well, it's better to start higher so I have some room to negotiate down. Sometimes it's the realtors that give them the wrong advice. Oftentimes we see realtors tell people what they want to hear just in order to get the deal, knowing that they're going to have to reduce it later. But basically in the pricing, if you price a home too high, what's going to happen is it's going to sit on the market. And that's, you know, one of the two reasons home doesn't sell. It's either overpriced or there's some type of a problem with either the house or the way it, usually it's the marketing and the way it shows, which ties in the staging. So if it's priced too high and you're sitting on the market, inevitably you're going to have to do price reductions. And then whether there's price reductions or there's just more time on the market, when buyers see that, then the interpretation is, or the feeling is, okay, well, they've been on the market for a while. They're going to be more flexible, or I'm going to have a better opportunity to negotiate a better price, and they're going to come in lower. And then they're basically in more of a position of control in the negotiations, where if you price it accurately at market value or even slightly below market value, then as it hits the market, people can see it and, okay, this is a good deal. I'm interested. And the goal is to price it accurately, market it well, so that you have multiple buyers that are interested in the property, and you create that situation or position where you have multiple offers. And when we're in that position, then we're able to negotiate terms that are favorable for the seller instead of the buyer having more control in the negotiations or having the upper hand in the negotiations.
Yeah, no, I've seen that. Actually, I've heard that from some of the people that you've represented. They said it was great because the person we selected wanted a 10-day escrow and they were going to pay cash, so I didn't have to worry about anything. So I think that's really cool. And what's the last one?
Yeah. Oh, so marketing. So with the marketing, what I like to say is most agents are passive. So they'll get the photos, they put it online, they put a sign out front, and then they just wait for something to happen and wait for buyers to come through. Where you need an agent that's really going to be actively and aggressively marketing the property. So through notifications throughout the neighborhood, we do a pre-listing campaign. So we like to go on the market on a Tuesday. We're pushing marketing, like I said, through mail, social media, the internet, but driving as much interest to the property before it actually goes live on Friday. And then we start the showings and open houses over the weekend, because we want to create a buzz and interest and excitement about the property. And during that first weekend, during the open house or just during the showings, we want as many people coming through, because that human psychology of, if other people want it, then it must be worth it and it must be a good opportunity. So it helps motivate people to take action quicker or more quickly.
Well, I never even thought of it that way. But I, you know, if you have a volume of people looking at a volume of people saying, hey, this looks nice, this looks nice. And you know what? I could see how it creates that buzz.
So, yeah. And people have that kind of that fear of missing out. So if they like the home and it's been on the market for 3 weeks, then they'll take time to make a decision because they feel like, okay, I've got a little bit of time. But if it's just hit the market, they see five other people looking at the property, then that's like, okay, I like this home and I might lose out to one of these other people. I need to act quickly so I don't lose out on this opportunity.
That's great. That's good to know. So, okay, Glenn, here's the biggie I need to ask you, because I know there's always somebody who wants your help. So how do people get in contact with you? What websites should they go to?
Yeah. So phone number is 619-500-3222. And then best website is premierhomes.com.
So that's phone number, guys, 619-500-3222 and My Premier Homes. So you just want to go there, you get a hold of Glenn. He's got all this wonderful information for you. And if you're looking to sell your house, he's the guy to go to. Glenn, thank you so much for being on the show today. We very much appreciate you. I know our audience does, because every time you come on, somebody's very happy because they appreciate that. Even though they might not be in the same state you're in, they've learned something. And you know what? They probably get more out of their house. So thanks again for being with us today. And hopefully you'll be back next time.
Hey, thanks again, Steve. Have a great day.
All right. We'll see you. Bye. All right. Hey, you want to stick with us? We're going to be right back with some more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. You know what? Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. And I do want to talk to you a little bit about money. I want you to understand a couple things that many people aren't talking about when it comes to our economy. And that's the geopolitical tensions. You know what? I was reminded today, and you know, you don't want to forget about the geopolitical tensions and how they can directly affect our economy. One area that's not being spoken about today is the financial media, is the shipping problems in the Red Sea. Today, Iran seized another oil tanker linked to the U.S., you know, and right at this moment, the U.S. has to make a decision of what they're going to do. We've been talking about how the markets have been priced with interest rate cuts and things like that. However, soaring prices and shipping delays are about to surprise the Federal Reserve and the markets, because it's another way that's going to create a problem with supply chain and increase the cost of things, which means inflation. Okay. And you know what? And the soaring prices and shipping delays, you know what? They're about to surprise the markets and the Fed, and especially if a solution's not found quickly. Shipping companies right now are diverting their vessels to much longer routes, adding time and expenses. You add that to the Panama Canal, it's facing supply chain headwinds due to drought. And you know what? With this, you have a recipe for financial turmoil. Why is this important to everybody that's listening to me? Because the demographic of the people listening to me, they're in a situation that, you know, when you say, hey, simply put, it will have a direct effect on your financial well-being. We're not in 2003 or 2008. You're now at an age where you've never been faced with issues which before did not truly affect your financial well-being, because your lifestyle is being fueled by your income from a job. And if you don't have that job, oh my God, it creates a problem. So it's really very important, if you're in that retirement phase or about to retire, make sure you have that purpose money. And that purpose money is that short-term money that's going to create the income for you to support and maintain your lifestyle. You don't want anything creating a problem for that short-term money, because time is the enemy of short-term money. On the flip side, you have that performance money. Okay, that's that growth stuff. Okay, and you know what? Short-terms is the enemy of performance, because when you look at the market, as long as you have enough time, it will continue to grow. So the key here is make sure you have purpose money to support and maintain your lifestyle. Make sure you have that performance money, because it's going to go up and down, but over time, it's always higher. You don't want to just have one and not have enough of others, but because it'll adversely affect your lifestyle. I want to thank you all for joining us today on Saving with Steve. I hope I imparted some knowledge. Glenn gave you some wonderful tips on real estate. And you know what? We'll look forward to seeing you next time. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you next time right here on Saving with Steve. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.